The goal of the Salumis podcast is simple. Take a candid, objective, and often comedic approach to the human condition. In keeping with this, the use of expletives, crude humor, and references to harsh realities are commonplace. If you find any of this to be offensive, please throw your listening device in the trash. If not, enjoy the show.
And we are back for another episode of the Salumis Podcast. This is Kalu.
This is Chris.
And this is Brandon in the background.
And today it's just us three. It's kind of nice and refreshing to have one with just us here. It's been fantastic having our guests on. But sometimes I just like to have some of these here and there. I think it was last Thursday, Brandon and I, we made a little sausage at my house, and that was a fun episode. And the week before, we had... why am I brain farting right now?
I don't know.
We had Heather on.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard that one, I know. If you haven't heard that episode, please stop now and then go and listen to that one, because we kind of built off of that one to do Thursday's little sausage making session.
Yeah. So. And for real, like, if you go and you look through our catalog and you go to our first episodes, like, wait and go to them last.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Go to those.
And
like,
use them as just
last.
A frame of reference for how far we've come and how far we've got to still go.
Exactly.
They are trash.
They are. So today's episode, it's touching on a couple different things. So, one of the things that I was listening to a while back, it was a discussion on the fruits of your labor. And, you know, it's just common talk or common knowledge that as you produce more or as you whoop more ass in life or something like that, you are going to, positive things are supposed to come out of that, you know, also known as the fruits of your labor. And that is typically seen as a positive thing. But I think that for a lot of us too, especially as we get older and this generation too, like, I'm starting to see that I'm not always producing good fruit. I'm not always producing like positive fruit. And so that being
some
said,
of that shit rotten.
Yeah, some of it is, truthfully. I mean, it, like, you know, is there'll be certain things like, okay, I start to do well work wise or just how I see myself in general, just how I'm growing and developing as a human, as an adult. And out of that growth comes these negative notions of like, oh, there's some of these people that normally I would think are good for me, but they're just not. You know?
Honestly, like, you're going down a pathway that I've pondered quite a bit, because, you know, I've been thinking about more lucrative endeavors here lately. Sure. And an acknowledgement that I fundamentally have to make is that I'm going to have to go swimming with the sharks, if I want to go and make some money. It's going to be an entirely different field of individuals that I'm contending with. It's not like I don't have my woes now. It's just different woes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say that coming from a position where there was no sales involved and then going into that, like, I'd be foolish to say that I don't now see people as like
dollar signs. No,
sometimes that happens, you know, and it's an internal struggle for me to be like, okay, is this about you or is this about, you know, some toy or something like that I want, you know what I mean? And that came for me from swimming with the sharks, from, you know, being in these different types of groups where it's just a bunch of sales professionals. And these dudes are warriors, man. Like, they do not play. You know, everything is about them getting their money. And you certainly learn some skills from that. And you learn, unfortunately, I guess, for me, how some people and some things just aren't even worth my time anymore.
Yeah, you have to prune away some of the excess things that you that were kind of tentatively orbiting you anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, honestly, just for your own personal clarity, you have to make the actual acknowledgement that, no, that's no longer a part of my life. And it's spring cleaning for your fucking mind.
Yeah. What about you, Brandon? Do you have anything like that? Like, as you start to do more in life, do you start to notice that, like, certain friends and certain connections that you have just aren't really sustainable anymore?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm not going to say outgrown a lot of people, but I mean,
You have outgrown a lot of people.
Yeah, all them dudes you used to chug NyQuil on. With in front of Walmart, y'all don't kick it as much anymore, do you?
Wait, it's supposed to be NyQuil? We did DayQuil.
Oh, you was robo-tripping.
But no, swimming with the sharks and all of that. Like, I find it fascinating just studying people who are the sharks of, like, a company and stuff like that. Because I've been just coral sitting at the bottom just... watching people go by, and I'm just watching all these people just making money and making these big money moves or decisions and things. And I want that. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of being that coral.
So I guess what you're going to have to do.
I look pretty.
I do like that coral. Yeah. I also think of
one of the largest organisms on the planet.
You know, the dude from The Walking Dead, Rick, he's like, Coral, Coral. Hey, Coral.
That's me.
That show sucked dick.
Yeah, it did. Anyway, it was bad. Graphic novels, dro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the graphic novel is the fucking jump off.
Well,
even if you've watched the show, go back and just rock the graphic novel because it takes it to a whole other level.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Wait, side note, did you guys like the Batman graphic novels too?
I didn't read the Batman graphic novels, but I fucked with the Dark Knight series back in the day when Bane first came out, and he was actually some donkey brolic ass.
He
like,
was massive.
Yes, he was freakishly massive, and he broke Bruce Wayne's bag.
Yeah.
And then he broke Robin, the first Robin, he broke his back.
He just breaking people's
backs. He was snapping people. And then Azrael. Yeah.
Like, wheelchairs are on sale, motherfucker.
Yeah, and then this cat named Azrael with blonde hair. Uh-huh. You knew he was trouble because he had blonde hair.
Yeah.
He took over the bat suit, but then he had this big metallic bat suit with the ninja mask on it and claws built into it. And then he fucked Bane shit up, son.
Really?
Yeah, he ate his lunch.
Interesting.
Drank his Capri Sun. You could hear it just.
What was the one with Batman in church? It's just a little off topic.
Batman in church.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is he about to say?
Look, what do you call it when Batman skips church? Christian Bale.
God damn it. Man, dude, why are you?
That
makes me so sick, man.
You dirty bitch.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That was a lot of setup for a shit bomb.
Gallstones and everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm a shark.
Oh, no. But yeah, going back to what we were saying, you know, it is.
Damn.
I do find it I find it personally hard to cut off those people.
They like your novelty. I've noticed there's a lot of motherfuckers that love saying they know Kalu.
You think so?
Yeah, bitch.
Well,
that's just real talk. I know Kalu. And then I come back to you and I'm like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And you're like, yeah, I guess I do. Dude. But they're acting like that you motherfuckers play badminton together or shit.
You know, one of the things that I've sort of had to look at as I go through like the different circles again and start pruning my fruitful tree, if you will, is that I start to ask
pruning
myself
that fruitful tree.
I know, that's what I'm calling
it's
it.
There's gonna be some berries growing on that one.
I ask myself, like, are they? It's not even so much as like, can we connect on stuff and can we make each other laugh? Because I've learned that anyone can make me laugh, right? But it's like, Are you pushing me like forward or are you holding me back? And that is something that is really, it's tough when you have to ask that about any of your friends, because more often than not, you find that you just have friends that are just kind of there.
Well, it's kind of like, what is it? Marie Kondo?
Yeah,
like,
Marie Kondo, yeah.
It's you doing that, like, does this bring me joy?
Yeah. It's like what Sarah Fort said, you know, knee relief, like she said, curating your life.
There you go. And that's the thing is we don't just accumulate physical items. Mm-hmm. We accumulate psychological items and hold on to those as well through nostalgia. And we romanticize them to our own detriment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's across the motherfucking board. But more in the vein of what you're talking about, like having those people, those people that are already kind of fringe anyway, just acknowledging that hey, it's okay that you're not a part of my life. It's not bad blood. And there doesn't even have to be any kind of direct, like, reaching out to them. That's kind of uncouth, actually, to reach out to somebody and be like, I'm sorry, I've outgrown you, bitch.
Click.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be easier, though? Dude, I mean, it's hard for me to like.
I would think if you came back to me and told me that you had gone down your list and told everybody you couldn't be friends with them no more, I would cry laughing. But I do think it's uncouth. It's not necessary, and I think that most people, the decent ones that are worth even considering, like, I kind of hate to sever this tie, but it you are really not pushing me forward. You in many ways may be holding me back. They're not going to fucking take it personal or they're going to get the hint. It's the people that ain't worth a shit that are going to take it personal or aren't going to take the fucking hint.
Yeah.
And those are poisonous people, especially. Mm. So if you go out of your way to play a motherfucker to the left.
Yeah.
And it's okay. We live in a society where people feel like they're entitled to your goddamn time. Mm-hmm. And that ain't the fucking truth.
Yeah.
So if they come at you with expectations that you're not willing to place any time into, that's motherfucking on them. Mm-hmm. You have no liability whatsoever. So I think overwhelmingly, whenever we do this pruning process, the parts that are supposed to fall off naturally, they do. They might even come back. You know, there might be some regrowth from them. Like later on in life, whenever you all are different people, because we change all the time. But the motherfuckers that are staying there, despite the fact that you have made it as clear as possible that, hey, I don't have time for your shit. That's a huge red flag. That's how you know that somebody's there to take your energy away from you.
Yeah, that's, and we had talked, I think maybe Thursday about, or maybe even on last Sunday, like I start to see a lot of the world and my connections with people as more of an energy in, energy out type of thing.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and it's a. There are people that
because
certainly
time
take a
is
lot.
Even more. I was thinking about this too. Time is a human construct.
Oh yeah.
So honestly, energy in and energy out is more scientific and specific and tangible than us commodifying time. Yeah.
And I'll say the one thing too. For me, I gravitate more towards people who put energy into themselves, and I don't mean it in like a selfish way. So like. One of the things that I read was saying that, like, I don't care how cool you are. I care about how much you give a shit about yourself. And when I see people.
And, like, what you're doing.
And what you're doing, yeah. I mean, like, but it's more about giving a shit about yourself just in general than so much about what. I can see that if some person is in a shitty situation, but they're still doing things to take care of themselves, like, mentally and staying positive and all that kind of stuff. But, like. I really start to pay attention to a lot of people who like to do who do more talking and less acting. Like I cannot stand people who just talk about shit that they're gonna do.
It's absolutely exhausting.
Yeah, it's that phrase Gary Vee said. He said, "Fuck your gonna." You know what I'm saying?
And therein lies another issue that I think gets glossed over is if you're the type of individual that can manifest themselves in some kind of public scenario as what could be construed as novel status, whether that be because you're 6'5" and Nigerian and fucking killing it, or you're...
Describe me.
Or you're a beautiful... green-eyed
bike rider,
bike riding,
salad tossing.
He will eat the booty.
Yeah, he will eat the booty.
But
you asked for it, bitch.
But whenever you get out in these social situations, people give zero fucks about you as a person.
Yeah,
they care about the idea of you and the idea that they might be able to gain some kind of personal. Or social capital from coming to you and getting validation from you.
Yeah.
If you pick out one of these novel creatures, okay, and there are, what are they called on IG and Twitter. What are they?
Influencers.
Influencers. We'll use the term influencer, yeah. but we use it on a micro level mm-hmm. and not the macro level.
Okay.
There are people within our locality, social communities, that would be considered influencers, whether they're actively involved in shit or not. Some of us in this motherfucking room, when we get on social media and we start stirring shit up, people give a shit, you know? But overwhelmingly, I've lost my train of thought. it's really what it comes down to. It's goddamn hot, and I lost my train of thought.
It's only like 100 degrees outside.
Well, and it's like 90 in here.
We're in the sweatshop.
Yeah. But, goddamn. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Influencers, people in these social communities, they don't even really have to have X number of people coming to them seeking validation that actually give a fuck about them as a person. Mm-hmm. They just give a fuck about the idea of that particular individual.
Yeah.
And they like having their own shit be given validation through one of these novel likes. Types of individuals. Yeah. So that's what I would imagine you run into from time to time is somebody that you kind of vaguely ass know mm-hmm. that is like, holy shit, it's Kaloo. And they're super excited to tell you about some shit because they know that you have a depth of understanding that other people lack. But what they don't get is that they're coming at you with the most selfish fucking shit possible. Like, they're like, let me tell you my idea and waste all your fucking time because I want you to tell me I'm right.
I get texts about that.
So, I really want you to just tell me I'm fucking right.
Yeah.
And you know what? What happens if it's one of us and we have to endure that? You either tell them they're right.
Yeah.
Because that's path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. Or you waste more of your motherfucking time explaining to them
why
and those people are lurking around every motherfucking corner and they don't mean ill either.
Yeah.
That's
why it makes it so hard.
It does make it hard.
Nice about it.
And if you listening, you might want to look at yourself. You might be one of those motherfuckers. We might all in this room might be one of those motherfuckers mm-hmm. from time to time. Mm-hmm. I dare say I'm probably less because I'm just a grumpy, curmudgeonly like hermit type motherfucker, but yeah. You know. Yeah,
and as I think more on this stuff, it's like I sit and talk about this person that I want to be or that have this certain life or whatever. And like when I look at why I'm not there yet and I look at all the fruits, like the rotten fruits that have kind of grown, you know, and the dead fruits, the dead connections that are still there. Like, it seems to kind of boil down to fear for me. Like, it's easier to hold on to people.
So you're hoarding. You're hoarding friendships?
Yeah, and I'm letting... And one of the things that you have said in earlier episodes is that, like, you let people live rent-free in your mind. And I'm letting people, a lot of people, live rent-free in my mind. And I always, and the way that it should be for me, is that if you are going to occupy real estate in my mind or in my heart, the price to occupy that space is that you have to be doing some good shit for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be doing something that I can see that value, and I can see your work, and I can see, like...
Community, bro.
Yeah, the fruits of your labor, because... There are those people that, like, I'm like, God damn, they aren't doing shit for themselves. And I still, they'll call me and I still answer the call, or I'll still respond to the text, or I'll still, like, oh yeah, let's go get a beer. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, fuck, why do I do that to myself?
And you know, we often talk about like our history as a species and the fact that we're like evolution's middle children. Like we're barely out of the motherfucking jungle as far as like our impulse control and all this other shit. But
it's a shame because we have to rely on like our reliance on technology and stuff like that is stifling that evolutionary process.
And in many ways, again, like we exhibit signs of, like, if we look at wild varieties of a species compared to their domestic manifestations, you see significant differences. Roughly 15% less brain mass overall. Atony, which is a lack of muscle mass, unless of course a particular species is bred to have extra muscle mass per a myostatin deficiency or double myostatin deficiency. But we, some of this stuff that we run into when we get mad philosophical about as human beings could just very well be a biological imperative, a holdover. If you're not helping the group, if you're not part of my community, and I know now community means something different than it once did. Mm-hmm. But whenever, say, you had a group of 30 individuals that were fighting to fucking survive, if somebody is not helping you, then ostracism seems like a biological imperative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even thinking about people, it burns calories.
Yeah,
it takes energy. Your brain takes up a huge amount of your overall metabolic energy over the course of the day.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting around letting people live rent-free in your fucking head, that's physiological damage, wear and tear at the very least, that's being put on you. But
you know that quote by Jim Rohn where he says, like, you are the five people you spend most of your time with? Like, I feel like a spin for me is I'm also like the 5 or 10 people I think about, or the 5 or 10 people that have the most impact mentally on me.
Yeah, where you almost, they almost transcend just being a human.
They're
larger than life.
Yeah,
some of those people.
I'm just like, God,
like how I talk about my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Larger than life.
Yeah. And I also think like some, like my dad, you know, like trying to, it seems hard for me to like escape the expectation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the one thing that I've been like, is even after he says, like, I didn't raise you to be like me, I raised you to be better, there's always that expectation of like, is this better? You know what I'm saying? Is what I'm doing considered better by his expectation? And I think that part of that is kind of like, that kind of throws me off, but it's just, there's other people that just seem to occupy that kind of, like, more space than they need to. And it's the fact that I'm letting them live rent free. That's what's making me allocate more energy. Like, when people are doing their own thing and whooping their own ass, I don't have to allocate that much energy. It's much easier.
Yo, it gives you life.
Yeah.
Too. It gives you motherfuckers. Some people give you energy, and that's a thing, and they might not always.
Yeah.
They might not always. Sometimes there might be reciprocity, but those people that are kind of pushing the pace, that are taking control of their own lives, that you see, that you appreciate, that rubs off on you. Overwhelmingly it does, and it gives you motivation and energy, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be last.
Yeah.
I don't have to be motherfucking first, but I don't want to hold anybody back.
Yeah. That's the big thing for me.
Yeah, never be a detriment to another
and
human
being.
And
that's one thing I think I might have said on one of our episodes, just when I was like, my big thing for a relationship to me, I know we talked about this in relationships, like, it was just like my unspoken deal that I make with a woman, right? But this is like an unspoken deal.
That sounds
deal.
Real shady.
Sorry. But it's like, this is like an unspoken deal that I should make with everyone. It's like, you can be whatever you want to me. You can be whatever you want, but don't ever fucking be a liability. Don't ever be a liability to me, because you'll get dropped real fast. And I have friends that are liabilities.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I get that too. And I'm in a strange place, because professionally it's what I do is deal with liability. Like, that's, I'm working off the cuff, liability. But however, the people that I entertain the most amount of time with, which is very few, you know, I am a super nebulous, selfish with my time motherfucker. I've been booed up with my girlfriend for a while, and it's honestly been my sanctuary. That's been my peace. Had a lot of shit going on. You know, it's stressful searching for a new car. God damn it, I hate that shit.
What's your mind on right now?
Practicality.
Fair enough.
Yeah, practicality.
You don't want to drive
a BMW.
Can
I talk to you about
anymore?
My Lord and Savior Subaru?
Oh, I've been looking at Subarus.
Oh.
I've looked at some
get
Subarus.
At me, then.
He said get at
well,
me.
Look, keep your eyes open for me. If I'm going to do all-wheel drive, then I'm going to do Murano or smaller.
Yeah.
I think I've
That's
pretty
a
much.
Nissan.
Don't shake your head.
Oh, Nissan. Nissan's is the truth, baby.
Dude, listen, let me tell you. I bought my car brand new, knock on wood. 5 years ago, I've never taken it into the shop. It's a Nissan. I have never taken it into the shop.
It has no oil in it at all.
I've never taken it in. It's reliable as fuck, dude. And
shout out to
it's
Nissan.
It's more American than a lot of American cars because my shit was built in Smyrna, Tennessee.
That's true.
So just like all about them. I like that brand a whole lot.
I'm a fan of a Nissan as well. But yeah, I've been stressed out with that and then work. Goddamn, it's been overwhelming, and the ratio of job satisfaction, stress to compensation is beginning to get a little bit out of whack.
Yeah.
And when we started this, I don't know if we even said the statement, but we talked about the word dis-ease. Mm. Did we even say that to begin with?
No, at the beginning.
Well, we began this discussing the notion of dis-ease and elements in our lives that cause dis-ease. And if you even look at the derivation of the word disease, or how it, for all I know, it's fucking essentially the same word.
Yeah.
But we're for the intent of this podcast, we're going to draw a distinction. Mm-hmm. A disease carries with it the conventional definition, and dis-ease is kind of an unconscious allowance of all of these extraneous elements to weigh on us. Yeah. Like you were talking about, those stagnant friendships that are lingering, that are people that really just want a piece of what you have, or to deplete you of your energy, something like that. But I went on this little diatribe just basically trying to indicate that, you know, I have an equally small group of individuals, but even within that, I think, you know, I'm frustratingly hard to get a hold of because when I'm downtiming
it, that's the truth.
It is the truth. But when I'm downtiming it, I'm super duper fucking downtiming it. That don't mean that I'm just lounging on a sofa watching fucking Amazon Prime or nothing. We do a lot of shit outside and run around and whatnot, but like I fucks with you more than I fucks with really overwhelmingly pretty much anybody, and you know how hard I am to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm like, bitch, I'm trying to help you.
I did call you back though.
Thank you.
But that's the thing, and this is all contextual, too. This is driven by what point you are in life. I've just beginning to enter a phase in my life where I feel like I need to be selfish. And we've talked about in previous podcasts that selfish doesn't necessarily have to be a pejorative. Selfishness serves you well.
It's on the level of like mental health is what we say. Like
self-care,
mental
health.
Yeah, and self-care, it's not me first, it's me too.
Right.
It's like, I gotta take care of myself too, man. That's kind of how, you know, and I think that when you take care of yourself better, it makes you want to do other stuff for other people, you know?
Right. It frees you up to fucking think, man. Yeah. Like, If you're in an environment where everything is so entirely cluttered, including those friendships and any number of things that facilitate dis-ease, there's no way that, well, I'm not going to say there's no way, but you're making it much harder on yourself to gain any modicum of clarity on where you really want to go. Otherwise, you're just living day to day.
Yeah.
It's just, it's beyond paycheck to paycheck. Sure. You were living day to day. Like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to eat my McFish.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to work. You know, I might come home. I think the American Idols is on this evening.
American Idol.
And you get tired and you feel and you treat yourself too.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself.
But I think that's not always a good thing either. I think that the treat yourself is throwing a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Mm-hmm.
I think where you really need to be doing the work at, you're ignoring, and you're filling that void with a double chocolate chunk.
Yeah, but you know, yeah. The hard thing though is like people know what they need to do, but it's like when you get off of work, like you don't want to just go work on yourself. That's one of those things, or like when you get done doing your regular responsibilities, like it takes a lot of energy to just like, okay, Now I'm going to work on me, which is 1,000 times harder.
Yo, speaking of which, you want to go to kickboxing with me on Wednesday?
Bro, I can't get my leg up to like, what is this, like Tai Bo kind of shit? Like,
no, it's like this actual like MMA gym type stuff. They might, you just punch.
Oh, where is it?
It's in town. It's in Bowling Green.
Free?
What? Look, quit blowing the spot up. I'm sure we know a motherfucker that'll let us in just to check it out. You know what I'm saying?
All right, but I'll give it a shot.
I'm starting on Wednesday.
Kickboxing? Mm-hmm. All right, that sounds fun.
And no, this isn't some Tai Bo bullshit. This is like...
it's like Billy Banks, just like
no,
this coochie is, cutters with like just... Either he's wearing a cup or he's just got a big old dick, dude. Because I remember like being young...
Billy Blanks.
Yeah, everyone's doing Tai Bo and I'm just like... I know I'm like a Billy, you know, like an 11-year-old kid. I'm just like, God damn, it's a big old dick, bro.
Damn,
like,
Billy got a big old dick.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sitting here like 10 years old, like, fuck, man, I'll never get to that. Then I did.
You know, as a 10-year-old, you're always like,
supposed to be this fucking small? Because Billy Banks shows otherwise.
And to lose 7'10".
I know. Sitting there in fifth grade, just like, I guess got a small
Which one is
dick.
My belly button?
Dude, Audis are disgusting. I'm going to just say that right now.
Well, I don't have one of those because I'm faddish. I'm ever so slightly fat.
Oh my God. Anyway, what were you? No, Brandon.
We were talking about Billy Blank's dick.
God damn it. No.
Yeah, I didn't really pay much attention to Billy Blank's dick, but yeah.
But totally.
I'm glad you got his dick at some point.
Oh, but yeah, God. We're going to kickboxing on Wednesday. Okay. Go, 7 o'clock on Wednesday.
That sounds good. But I lost my fucking train of thought.
I was thinking about Chris in a year is going to be like in a match. Is he going to have like his reach span and everything else?
Oh, and then what? He said reach span.
Reach span.
I hate him
well,
right now.
You know, Brandon has always been an orator, if not the orator of our generation.
Yeah, for real. All right, Brandon, tell us about any of the, have you had to do any pruning of friends of?
So I just want to clarify. So are you talking about like the people that are like, outside of say you're 150 and they're just like, hey, how you doing today?
No, I'm
like, we talking about motherfuckers outside of the five.
Yeah, the five. Like if we're going on
that are just trying to work their way back in.
Well, if we're going on this, the quote by Jim Rohn where he says you are the five people you spend most of your time on, are you are the five people that you're around the most or whatever. But also the thing that I had said was that you're also the people that you think about as well, or the people that occupy space in your head. The question is, do you have stuff like that? I know you were messing with the sound stuff and I was like, he probably missed that.
So there's like, the concrete element, like he was talking about, which you say Jim Rohn quote, where hypothetically you have five individuals where they carry with them five primary elements of who you are as a human being. Mm-hmm. Then there's this abstraction outside of that, where we were talking about like our parents, like his father and my mother, being not necessarily part of this formative five, but being larger than life and carrying with them control and social influence outside of those five people that you emulate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, right now in my life, I just feel like it's just clutter. Like, it's a lot of work mixed with a lot of, like, personal home stuff. So whenever I go home, like, I'm dealing with my wife, trying to like figure out how to make her life better. Which
I just picture him.
He said,
Al
he
Bundy.
Said dealing.
He
by
said
the
dealing,
way,
so that means dealing. He's hitting.
Kaylee, I never deal with you, baby. I always just kick it with you.
No, Elizabeth, I mean, I don't deal with you. I cry.
I cry and I hold you. And if you're not there, I hold a pillow
what
tight.
Is this, what is this crying thing?
I don't know. You've been dead inside.
Is it like the sweat that comes out of my face right now?
I don't know. Green eyes don't cry.
So tell
you
us.
You need a shirt that says that.
No, we don't. Tell us about these moments, though. Tell us about any sort of pruning that you had to do. You say your life is kind of chaotic right now.
It is. And like, I feel like I've just got a lot of people messaging me saying, hey, let's go ride bikes. Let's do this. Hang out. Let's go get a beer.
And you hate saying no.
I hate saying no.
Why don't you?
So I just don't answer.
Okay.
Which is
that's
worse.
Pretty effective. That's pretty effective.
Here's what one of the things, too, that I am learning to be better about is saying when I don't want to go do something.
Yeah.
And like,
he has no problem fucking telling me some shit.
Yeah, I don't.
But he also knows that I'm
also
like,
very comfortable with him.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, that's fucking stupid. I'm like, yeah, just, I appreciate your candor, even though I disagree with you.
And see, yeah. I have a hard time, though. Like, anytime I see someone out, I feel like I need to go up and say hi. But I don't know why. It's just
I feel like me and Kalu were like, I hope this motherfucker don't.
Yeah,
but he's conspicuous as hell. Yeah.
It's funny if we're both in like public, me and my wife, like she will like 90 degrees turn and just start walking. if she sees someone like she knows and she's not in the mood to talk to him, you know, she'd be like boop other direction, and I'll just be like, hey, how's it going? You know what I mean? Like I'll go and say hey, but my problem is that I ask too many questions. I don't just leave it at, oh, hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they, so now how, they're.
How Karen and the kids doing?
How are Karen and the kids?
Did Jim start foosball?
Yeah, no.
But no, I mean, I used to do that too, but I would do it as I was walking away. Just like, oh, how's it going? Yeah. Is life going great? Oh, all right. See ya.
Well, yeah. I wish I can do that kind of stuff, but I stop and again, we've talked about this before, but it's just
you got to power walk, Kalu. You got to power walk, and you got to shoot somebody some over the top rock star ass gesture, and then it alleviates you, like
double barrels. Bam, bam.
Look, I swear, you're power walking like you're in Kroger, and you see them. You start your power walk. You make eye contact with them. You give them a powerful, like a fist up in the air, like, I see you, bro. And you keep power walking. And then they just assume that you got important shit to do. It works every fucking time.
Every fucking time.
It does. Otherwise, you're going to get trapped.
Yeah.
I am proud of myself, though. Like, I mean, where I work at, people walk in all the time that, like, I graduated with or were somewhere in my school.
The janitor's like, I need a phone.
So I was one of like five black people in my school. Yeah. So everyone knew me.
Yeah.
But I saw this guy. I was like, he looks familiar. But I let my associate work with him. I was like, he looks familiar. So I used Facebook as sort of just a tool. Just like, oh, yeah, I do know him. And so I had to go back up there, of course. So I was just like, hi. And then kept walking.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't feel the need to like stop and ask you about your life.
A real intense acknowledgement, like an eye contact, intense acknowledgement
goes a long way.
Yeah.
Intense. So give as much, give as much energy into just like that very second as opposed to like the conversation or as opposed to like the act of meeting or greeting them or something like that. Just be like, put everything into like, hey, how's it going? I gotta go.
Yes. See you later. Yes. The intensity of that acknowledgement has a byproduct of creating a boundary.
Ah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Dude, I'm real good at avoiding fucking with people. And what's funny is my girlfriend she was like, yeah, it's so weird. Like, Chris is an introvert and I'm an extrovert. And it lightweight pissed me off because I'm like, okay, that is not what these words mean.
Yeah.
I was like,
Chris is more of an ambivert.
Yeah, I'm definitely an ambivert because I'm super social. If anything, it's just my kind of little bit of a cynical, sour disposition and being critical of human beings and getting worn out by their bullshit easily. Yeah. Not any timidity, not any kind of shyness. I don't have to. I mean, people do drain me of my fucking energy, but only if I let them.
Yeah.
And I've gotten pretty good, like I said, about creating those boundaries. If I didn't, then I wouldn't be able to function at work.
Yeah. My desire to be around people is just as high as my desire to be away from them.
Yeah, we're both ambiverts. Yeah.
Like, but it's gets stronger as I get older.
And so is Kaylee. Like, she is a huge fucking ambivert. She gives more people the benefit of the doubt than I do. Mm-hmm. That's the only variable that's different.
Yeah.
Is that I am far more cynical of human beings, especially dudes.
Yeah.
Because I know dudes are trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dudes are trash. We did a whole episode on dudes being trash, and we have to fucking acknowledge it. But yeah. So are women. Don't get me wrong. Y'all hoes is trash too. Yeah. us hoes is trash. Y'all hoes is trash, but men are trash on a much larger scale and in a much more predatory type of fucking way.
I'll give that.
And see, yeah, like you don't a guy don't do what? I mean,
every time Brandon's about to say something, I thought you were just trolling him.
No, that was just a happy accident.
Chris, well, go on with what you
Chris
were
is driving the garbage truck. You're trash. Get in.
But what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I feel like I'm not giving a lot of time to people. I like outside of my like core five. But I mean, if you're moving at the same pace and you're doing the same thing as me, I'm like, come on, join me for something.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give you a lot more time other than in the act.
So where do you think that you're on the right trajectory right now then? Do you think that you're making the right steps to get to where you want to be in your life?
No.
Okay, so how can you...
That's a
good place to start. Is acknowledging that you're not in a good spot.
No.
Because I don't know.
Yeah, but if you don't know where you want to be and where you want to go and all that kind of stuff, how can you be so sure about the people that are in your circle about like how good or like are positive they are? Like, are they pushing you forward? Are they holding you back? What are they doing?
See, a lot of times I feel like I'm the one pushing them forward. Like, I'm leading them.
At the cost of you?
I mean...
Yeah, that's your energy, dude.
I'm not able to put in everything that I want because I'm just like, hey, come on, yeah, we can do this. But I'll teach you how to do this. But then you have to reteach them when they come back a week or two later.
This sounds like a specific thing, Brandon.
No, I'm just talking about, like, you know, everyone... Because everyone knows I ride bikes. We want to ride bikes today. I'm like, all right. Brandon. But then our pace is like 7 miles an hour slower, and I'm just like, all right, next time let's do this.
Yeah.
And then it's still the same because we just want to hang out. And like, I want to like do actual work shit.
So that's kind of how I'm in the gym too. That's why I really don't like having a bunch of gym partners.
Yeah.
Because when I go in there by myself, I'm far more meticulous.
Yeah. I'm selective about who I partner with. And that actually translates to everything. I mean, that's the same energy and selectivity or whatever that you take with a workout partner or a riding partner. I think you should do the same with your journey towards what you want to do. And I don't think we do enough of that because we just like having a lot of friends. We like being around positive energy, but like when you want to include people on the climb is not always positive. And that's the hard part about it. That's why it's hard to like suss out who's a good who's a good part of that circle or who can be on your team or who can come along or something like that.
That's why I like watching the sharks. I like watching them swim and work. And I just like, I want to figure out how they work. And that's why I don't give much.
They don't cling to the shallow end of the pool. Don't. I'll tell you that.
I can't swim, but damn it, I'm ready to jump in.
And they're not
in.
Afraid to fail.
That's the thing. You can't be afraid to fail.
Yeah, that's why I'm not giving much attention to like all these other people, and I just use Facebook as like a Pokédex now because I'm just like, I remember you, but
he said a Pokédex.
So really, where we're at, and I think this ties everything to fucking together is the psychological concept that applies to most everything is risk versus reward.
Yeah, yeah. You have to look at that when you find friends or when you bring people into the fold.
Yeah, whether it be having to do with friendships, any kind of interpersonal relationship, business endeavors, personal like hobby-based endeavors, whatever the fuck it may be.
Yep.
Risk versus reward. Where is it going to pay off for you?
Yep.
And it's totally fucking okay to not be a goddamn martyr.
Yeah.
There is a really, really good chance, ladies and gentlemen, that once it's lights out, that's all there fucking is. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you believe otherwise. Just think about it.
Yeah.
It could be. It's possible that it's lights out and we're done.
Yeah.
So let's make the most of it.
And let me read this for something. Someone's building on what Jim Rohn said.
Drink
with
beers.
Being the five, you being the five people that you spend most of your time with. They said, if you have only one person in your close circle who is a negative influence, you have become one fifth of a person that does not want to make his life better. Like, that's fucking scary, dude. That's a lot of you. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of you.
I legit only fucks with like even my tightest friends, like a portion of the time.
Mm-hmm. And they said that because science has shown that old Jimmy was actually downplaying the influence of your social network. Apparently, people who are one, even 2 degrees of separation from you still significantly impact your life and your decisions. That's fucking scary too, dude. That's really scary.
Man.
One to two degrees away, in separation of you, still have an impact on
you. I will say, it makes me feel a little bit better about how belligerent I am
about
now.
About cutting people out and stuff like
that? Yeah, and about, just being pretty, like, unabashed about, like, playing rough with people to see because again, communication is one thing, mm-hmm. but anybody that I play rough with, so to speak, knows me well enough to know what is meant by that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And this is just a limited example mm-hmm. of that kind of shit. My natural behavior, I have to keep in check. Or it could careen completely motherfucking sure. out of control. And not to hurt anybody else. Again, I don't fuck with nobody. I do it for, really for my girlfriend at this point, because mm-hmm. I'm not beholden to anybody other than her. But my own natural predilections, me attempting to be the Patrice O'Neal version of righteous, yep. not God righteous, mm-hmm. but like at the end of the day, I know that I did what I did out of sincerity.
Yeah.
Behaving in that manner, things have worked themselves out.
Yeah. And the sincerity you speak of is the sincerity for yourself, because I think when you have this kind of sincerity for like other people, you can fall into almost like a false nobility, if you will.
Absolutely. And that's one of the most disgusting pitfalls.
It's super disgusting, dude. Yeah. It's super disgusting because you think that you're
virtue signaling. Yeah,
you think you're doing them a favor by being their friend or something like that. And like, there's nothing wrong with being like, yo, I'm trying to do like real shit in my life. Like, we just can't hang out. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to teach you how, if you are focused on being a damn good cyclist, like, there's no time to take people on leisure rides to show them how to ride a bike. There's yeah. just no time for that. Like, you can send a YouTube video, because that's probably how you learned. Do you know what I'm saying? You can send some information like that, but like, you, I don't want to take the driver's seat of your life. But if I were you, that's how I should have said it. If I were you, I would not allocate energy towards showing people something. I would be like, I want to be the best version of myself. There's simply no time. And because of that, people are going to think of you as an asshole. They're going to think of you as a dick. Do what I do.
Self-aggrandize. Be like, oh my God, I did this shit. And it wasn't even that hard for me.
It wasn't even that. It goes so easy.
I can't believe that I'm in my mid-30s and I eat ho-hos at 3 a.m. and go in the gym and bench press this.
I know.
I haven't been in months and I'm still strong. Like, a little bit of that. And I know that I'm a ding-dong.
Sure.
Fucking know I am. But you know what? I mean well.
Yeah.
And I really fundamentally don't give a fuck if people don't like me.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody to think me again to be untrustworthy, something yeah. like
or
that.
Or a liability.
Or a fucking liability. But if they don't like me based upon like my rhetoric or the way I choose to speak or carry myself or my nappy beard, any of that shit, then I really don't motherfucking care whatsoever. But like I said, the going with finding yourself first is the hard part.
Yes.
And not to wrap everything around the Jehovah Witness thing, but being isolated, you do a lot of introspection. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I did a lot of introspection, and I think I got the figuring out my certain elements, my core self. I think I got that out of the way early. Then I've chosen to live this second childhood mm-hmm. without, you know, I felt entitled the whole time. Now I'm undoing the damage that's associated with that stuff.
Yeah.
But my long-winded ass point being is that you have to find yourself before you can find your fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, people want to jump. A lot of people, most of the people that I see walking around want to jump to having a thing, and they don't even know who the fuck they are.
Yeah.
They hadn't read enough books.
But what happened?
Sit down and read some Salinger. Read some goddamn Salinger and then tell me what you want to be when you grow up.
A lot of people, though, they skip that whole finding themselves part because it's so much easier to follow other people.
Emulate.
And to look at other people's blueprints. You know, we all occasionally will listen to a motivational
domestication
speaker,
bro.
Or, yeah, that's the real
fucking
danger of listening to
dogs.
A lot of that kind of stuff is that you can easily become domesticated. And any time that we try to tell people like some, and I think that this discussion is somewhat motivational, but like what the danger of that is like a lot of people don't tell you like, hey, press stop right now and go and do some shit. Like, stop listening to people, because you can fall into this cycle of listening and listening. And we've said it in many episodes before, getting gassed up and all that kind of stuff. And now you're just following their blueprint.
Yep,
you've forgotten who the fuck you are. And now you're in a, you know, you're just, you're going to be depressed, or you're going to be just having that thing of like, well, what the fuck is my purpose? Because that's what happened to me.
Language is a tool. Communication is a tool. And then the brains of our peers and, and then these mounds of information and knowledge that's been passed down by our ancestors. That's frame of reference. That's all it fucking is. But that is not a substitute for you being able to analyze the combination of your own physiology and socialization.
Yep. Yep. That's a good spot. Do you have anything to add to it, Brandon?
No, I'm just sort of taking all this in.
Okay. I didn't know. I was just like, So,
I like turtles.
I do a lot of turtles.
How did everyone's weekend go?
Mine was great.
Okay.
Kaylee and I fucking...
I get it. I get it.
I understand.
No, man. I know you did. We got a lot of like practical things accomplished.
Fucking is practical. Okay, God, I get it.
Damn it. Yeah, you know I'm in trouble now, right?
I had to. It's been a while.
But no, like going around and planting plants and like hacking up trees that needed to be gone out of the goddamn yard. That's some satisfying shit to take a machete to a downed cherry tree in the yard and just...
He's like, hell yeah.
Yeah, and not only that, I'm in...
fuck you, George Washington.
Yeah, I'm in an uppity neighborhood with, like, wood chips and my nappy beard and no shirt on with my taco meat. Like,
look at all these opulent white people.
I'm going to go inside and hang out with this white lady later.
They'll remember that, though.
They will.
I watch a lot of, or listen to a lot of crime podcasts and be like, yeah, that guy was outside chopping a tree one time and he just looked crazy.
Yep.
Well, if they act the fuck up.
How'd your weekend go?
Pretty good. I actually went kayaking this morning at like 8:30.
Yeah.
And can you tell I got a tan?
No.
I'm getting closer, Clue.
Huh?
You'll never get
closer. Closer to whom?
Remember when we were talking about dicks, dude? You'll never get closer.
That's okay. I don't want your dick. But
nobody does. Well, no. I'd say there's plenty of people that would love your penis, Clue.
Thanks, love.
You're welcome, lad.
But yeah. What else do you get into?
No, I mean,
how caramely are you, though?
I mean, quite.
He's a little bit caramely.
You want to taste me?
No, bitch. You nasty motherfucker.
I don't want to catch sexual deviant.
Well, I think it's a little late for that for you.
But no, just it's really hot outside, but I enjoy being outside, and that's my happy place. That's where cool. I go to just de-stress.
Yeah. Yesterday we celebrated my mother-in-law's birthday, so that was pretty fun. Wife threw down, and my parents came over.
I don't remember asking you.
Huh? Oh, shut up. But
Clue, tell us a snippet of your weekend. Nope. Too
so
much.
So we did. Yeah, you're like, that's enough. I worked out. Still had to work on the fucking pool.
No.
Hey, well, here, I'll give you guys an update. So, you know, we're
making... My drone camera is not as high resolution as I'd like.
We got all the chlorine in. We killed a fuck. You ever seen dead algae before? When it just falls to the bottom of the pool. Now everything is like...
I might have not known that's what it was.
Huh? Yeah.
Might have.
So it's like it all fell to the bottom because I had to let the pool just sit and like let all the levels fall to zero before I added
pump
chlorine.
All that yuck out.
Yeah. So like it's all set to the bottom, but now when I get home, I'm going to like pump all that shit out of the pool and hopefully we can do some swimming. But,
Do you do number twos in your pool?
Sometimes. Now that I got chlorine, it shows up now, you know, so it'll be a nice cloudy color. But I'm looking forward to that.
I like how it wasn't a log. It was immediately like you were
it's
a stressed out octopus.
Yeah, dude. Just a brown cloud, man. When you're in the water gets in your butthole, man. It's always just going to be nice and cloudy.
Only when I went down to plunge at Kings Island. When I went down that motherfucker, water went right up my butthole.
It was like using a bidet.
I stood up and I was like, I got a fart. And then it was just water came out. And I was like, I can never tell anyone about this. But here I am now, some 20 years later.
You know, 20 days later.
Yeah, there was a bunch of King's Island water in my asshole.
But that's what we did. We hung out. We had a good time. And then it's been like 2 months.
You
but
liked
this
it,
morning,
it was good.
This morning, we went to my favorite restaurant in the world. Everyone say it.
Waffle House.
Waffle House. And yeah, so I get a text from my daughter. She was like, let's go to Waffle House. I know you love it. And I was like, all right, that sounds good. But mom said no one should wake her up before 10 o'clock. And I was like, we got to wait. So 10:30 comes through. We roll over to Waffle House. And I slutted it up pretty bad. But I've kept it very clean for for a while now. And I feel really good. It's weird. Like when I have a streak of shitty eating and stuff like that, another shitty meal makes me feel worse. But when I'm like doing really well
and I have a cheat meal,
yeah,
it makes you feel better.
Yeah, and I actually feel better.
Yeah, because you
it's
get
so weird.
Those simple carbs and all that easily processed shit. It's a boost. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
it's kind of
God,
a good thing
really
to
good.
Do that periodically. Like, yeah. I think Bartley's on to something with this,
yeah,
like,
man.
Calculating macros more in terms of like multi-day instead of doing it for 24 hours is an arbitrary biological component.
Yeah, our clocks are all different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so when I went over there, I had the steak hash brown bowl, but I got extra hash brown and extra steak, and then...
bring kaloo, two bowls.
Yeah, dude, well, and then they put cheese, grilled onions, grilled jalapenos... Stay with me.
Grilled munchkins.
Munchkins. And then...
A few of those chicken nuggets up in there, too?
No, then they put a shitload of steak on there. Then they top that bitch with gravy, like their sausage gravy. Sounds slutty, but it was fantastic. But then I topped it off.
Can't do
Daddy
it.
Daddy had a sweet tooth, got a waffle. I probably had, I'd say probably 300 carbs, 300, maybe 400 carbs or something like that. It was goddamn incredible, but I feel great.
I ate a 6-egg omelet this morning, stuffed with sautéed tomatoes from the garden and cheddar cheese and hot sauce. And
I got some really good hot sauce from a Mexican restaurant. Mm.
Is it in your car?
No, it's at my house.
Fuck, I got to do a meeting. I don't need it. I can handle it going down, but when it hurts coming out, I have to bow out of it.
Yeah, you're just like, eh.
Yeah, and that's what's changed with age. Like, they ask, like, you know, what happens when you get older? I'm not one of them that's like, oh, I wake up with aches and pains. I'm like, okay.
Everything makes me shit myself.
Yeah, if I eat hot stuff, then flames come out of my asshole. And then I find myself praying to a God I don't believe in. I'm like, what? All of the sacrilege.
And the God's just looking
me.
Down at you just like, nah, bitch, not today.
I'm like, please, I don't even want to poop because it's going to hurt. I know.
All right, do we have any shameless shout-outs?
Well, shameless shout-out to Tyler Young. He got he tied for heaviest overall deadlift, I think, at Whiskey and Deadlifts at Powerhouse.
Did he? I know Devontae won it.
Devontae, I think he tied with Devontae for
overall. No, Devontae took it with 675 deadlift.
Oh, he did he?
Yeah, I think is what he.
Oh,
yeah.
well,
he pulled a planet.
Well, yeah, Tyler tried 675.
I think Tyler got 605.
He got 605. Yeah. Well, I guess he got second then.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said something about tying with Devontae on something. Maybe
they. Who knows?
But they're both monsters. I'm back out at Powerhouse. Brandon's over doing some weirdo gang sign Chinese finger trap bullshit. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what he's
but,
doing.
But shout out to Tyler Young at Grade 8 Performance. Again, if he has time to do your programming for you or answer questions, then you should utilize him.
Yeah,
and his services are way, way cheaper than you can get anywhere else for anything comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out to Powerhouse Gym. Fantastic place to actually get it the fuck in at, but it's to be taken seriously. It's a sacred place and it's to be treated as a sacred place.
What's up. They aren't going to hear this, but I do want to give a shout out to, Garage Door Rescue here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. My, apparently if the spring snaps in your garage, it's apparently something very dangerous.
You could add them. You can add them on social media.
I don't know if they have social or anything, but I'll see.
I bet they do. I bet they some motherfucker.
Maybe. Well,
if they don't, you need to approach them.
Be like, get your shit
You need
together.
To ease up on them real smooth. Like,
what's up, baby?
Hey, girl, let me tell you something about websites.
But when you're... Apparently, if you are near a garage door spring, because takes so much tension and shit like that, if it snaps, it can like kill you. And I was in my garage and that shit snapped and it sounded like it was like a huge like boom sound. I was like, what the fuck?
Damn,
it scared the shit out of me. Yeah. And my garage door like slammed shut.
If that's how you went out, like,
yeah,
for
it's
real,
like,
oh, dog. Like, I'd be like, Kalua ho. I always knew Kalua was
a
ho.
I always knew he was a bitch.
I always knew he was a bitch. Motherfucking garage door spring killed his big ass.
All that muscle for nothing.
Not a goddamn thing. It didn't save it from being upside your head, did it?
But so yeah. I took his shoes.
Yeah, bro. So that the
we
thing
both
broke.
Wear them.
You sleep in them. You
fucking
troglodyte.
Just tandem walk in your shoes.
But it snapped, and so I had to leave my garage door open for a long ass time. And I'm like
the
paranoid.
Loose sandals look like they belong on
they're,
the Sphinx.
They're shower shoes. But
they look like some Mesopotamian carved the motherfuckers out of this.
I got
a rock face. And then the tray you tried to get past without getting zapped.
He's on a tray. The nothing got my feet, man. That's what happened.
The
never-ending story.
What are those called? Lamasu?
I don't know what
they
you're
got,
talking
they
about.
They got woman titties and a lion's body and wings, and they are ferocious Mesopotamian mythical creatures.
Oh, my God. You're making me laugh too hard. I'm sweating.
Look, and I think it was the Never Ending Story 2. It was when he was trying to get past that one little area, and if you walked through there and you didn't know the riddle, then beams would come out of their eyes and zap you. What were those called? Lamasu?
That movie was badass, so. It really
what were
was.
They called, Brandon?
Brandon's looking
Figure
it up.
It
don't
out.
Look it up. Put your phone down.
Mythical Mesopotamian.
Don't do it.
Titty lines.
What kind of porn shows up when you type that up?
I don't know.
He's really looking it up. He's
looking up titty line real fast.
He's like,
I bet it'll pop up.
No.
Oh, God.
It's not that.
All right.
But yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I don't know how we even got to that.
Well,
shit.
I was saying, they fixed my garage door.
Yeah.
They fixed my garage door. They put some, like, they ran out of the right spring that I was supposed to have. So they put some heavy duty shit on there.
So they were like, look, pimp, since you almost got decapitated, we can go ahead and put this high performance.
Yeah, dude. They took care of me. And. Fun story, I learned that they're juggalos. Fucking awesome. I was like, what?
This story gets better and better all the time. So now we got to give shameless shout outs
to ICP.
Every time.
Yeah.
Well, and ICP,
and
because let me
general.
Tell you, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
A juggalo ain't never did shit to me.
Dude, it was funny because they were saying like the convention or something.
They be fucking
went
themselves
to.
Up.
Yeah, well, they said like, they were like, it was very calm, very peaceful. They said we had our own security guards. They didn't need the police or anything out there. And I was like, juggalos are just.
Dude, juggalos. And nice people. Weren't they labeled by the government to be like
a
gang?
Yeah. Yeah, a gang, but dude, they're so nice, man. And so it was really cool getting to
shout
talk
out to juggalos.
Yeah, I gave him, I offered
what is
him
it?
Some
woo,
water.
Woo, woo.
I offered him some water, and I was like, hey, guys,
did
I don't know if you guys
out?
Mess with this, but I use a flavor enhancer, the little Mio things. I was like,
flavor enhancer.
Yeah, I was like, give you two squirts.
This
in
motherfucker
your
put MSG packets
yeah,
and they drink water.
I was like, this is good stuff, man.
You got the chicken one, now, you got the shrimp.
I take care of you if I'm going to put the water enhancer in your cup of water that I give you.
Meow.
And so they were awesome. They did a good job, fixed all my shit for $225. Shout out to, so that's a good price if anyone needs to get your garage door fixed because that shit gets expensive. So they took care of us, and that was our weekend. So I'm excited to get back to the house, work on the pool. I think my daughter's boyfriend is coming over.
What?
Yeah, he's a nice kid, dude. I can't say shit about him, dude. He's a nice kid, and he's big. So I don't like beta looking boys. Like,
yeah,
this kid's fucking big, and I'm just like, just keep getting bigger. And he plays sports and shit, super nice. And he treats the youngin' like a princess. He's like crazy about her. And so
he sees you and he's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. He's like, Mom, Haley's dad's black. He's a big guy. I just don't want to mess with him.
Let me talk to him.
No,
his knee.
Yeah. But he's a good kid. So
I'm
excited.
I went to Mesopotamian.
Oh, God. We're done looking at that. Do we have any other shameless shouts or anything like that?
Brandon, think of
Ryan
Hines. Google this.
Ryan Hines. You're buying this bitch time. He's trying to look up lion titties, dude. All right. So shout out to Ryan.
Lamasu. But it's Assyrian. A Lamasu is an Assyrian protective deity often depicted as having a human head, the body of a bull or a lion, and bird wings. I didn't see anything about woman titties. In some writings, it is portrayed to represent a female deity, which it, the one with just the Atreyu had titties and shot lasers out of its eyes. Checkmate, Kalu.
Oh my god!
According to this Flickr thing that I found, it's called "Lion Woman Thing with Big Ass Titties."
Is that really what
it
says?
Did you really find that?
It really just says "Lion from Woman Never Thing Ending with Big Story. Ass Titties."
It says on Flickr. So.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your attention. I will say one last thing. We passed 8,000. Yay, yay. So we're doing good, guys. We're really doing well.
Good shit.
Like I said, we got to get to 10,000 before next year. 10,000 downloads. That's a good thing for a podcast out of Bowling Green, Kentucky, man. That's like, that's really, really good. So let's get more. Let's keep growing. Guys, one thing that we don't tell people to do is to like subscribe on iTunes or whatever podcast thing that you're listening to. Please do that. And if you can do one, if you like this episode or like anything, just invite one person.
I don't care if you like it.
Invite one person to listen. Even though we aren't focused on like getting a shitload of people to like our stuff, we want the conversation. So what I want is for someone to be like, hey, I may take exception with this thing you said, or I have a thought that needs to come through. I'd like to discuss it with you. And that's the kind of shit that we want coming here. I don't care if you like it or not, but if you feel strongly enough about something that you want to talk to us about, come on and let's talk about it.
Yeah, make us famous and we'll put y'all on.
There we go. That's how people learn. So with that, again, thank you all for your time. Whoop all the ass this week. And I believe we're out.
Whoop.